Welcome to Porch Talk. My name is Ted Tate, and with me today is a man whose voice you definitely have heard on WWER because he's been producing some really interesting music about Colonial Beach. You may have also seen him and mistaken him for Santa Claus. My guest today is Frank Alger. Hi, Frank.
Hello, how are we doing today?
We're doing great. The weather is a little humid, but nice, and we're enjoying the fruits of summer, finally.
Yes.
What does Santa do in the summer?
Oh, he usually kicks back, gets the boots off, puts his flip-flops on, sits by the beach, and has a cold Coca-Cola.
Frank, you've been in Colonial Beach quite a long time. We were chatting a little bit before the interview, and I could tell you have some deep roots here. When did you come to Colonial Beach, and what brought you here? Why?
Well, the family and I arrived here in Colonial Beach on September the 28th, 1984. We moved down from up around Albany, New York, the upstate part of New York. Before moving here, I worked at the Watervliet Arsenal in Watervliet, New York, where we make a lot of the cannons and stuff that they fire over here in Dahlgren. And as the base was closing down, I got a job at the Navy base in Dahlgren, and so we moved down here, and we've been here ever since. Me, the wife, and all six boys.
Six kids, wow. And but you weren't in the military. You were
No, I was a civilian at the time.
Okay.
I had served in the Air Force for almost 8 years. Then I worked for the Watervliet Arsenal for 10.5 years before moving down here to Dahlgren. And by the time I finished at Dahlgren, I had 48 years federal service.
Wow. Long time. After retirement, you decided that you wanted to stay in Colonial Beach.
Yes. Why move? This is a pretty little town. It's you don't find too many little river towns where the history actually runs deep. If anybody looks into it, I mean, it goes all the way back to the Native American tribes doing their thing on the shores here. You still find shells and stuff like that. Captain Smith came up this river. Stopped here probably along the way, all the way up to the modern times where they had steamboats showing up, the gambling, everybody trying their luck at the slot machines before they left, to present time. And this is just a nice little town with a long history, but nobody writes songs about it.
True. And so you've sort of filled that niche, haven't you?
I have tried.
And what prompted you to do that?
Well, my one son got me involved with a little program called Suno. I always thought I couldn't carry a tune unless I picked up the sheet music and walked across the room with it. But when I started recording my voice, I'm saying, that doesn't sound like me. But everybody says, no, that sounds like you. Apparently, you sound different to yourself inside your head than you do.
Absolutely.
Over the recording.
I can tell you that from experience. Everybody thinks they sound different. I did it first as well. I got used to my voice, listening to recordings of my voice doing radio, and just realized that the sound reverberating around in your skull sounds different than the sound out in the air.
This is true.
And so you started recording your voice, you started actually singing songs, or what were you doing?
Oh, to a certain extent. I follow along with it. I've been trying to train my voice. I get to the point where, you sit there and my problem is I'm writing so much, I'm having a hard time remembering which song's got which lyrics. I start crossing them over. But I'm trying. I don't know. I when I was in high school, I was a member of the boys' glee club. I sang alto soprano. And as you can tell, my voice is a little bit deeper now. Apparently, I have passed through that section of my life where I sang alto soprano. So, and
sitting here with you now, hard to imagine, actually.
actually, yes, I can
but
imagine.
But it happens to all of us.
And I've always liked music from, like, the 50s. You'll hear a lot of stuff some of the stuff that I put out has basically to do with genre that you'd hear from the Rat Pack with Frankie, Dino, and Sammy. And I just always liked their music. And the one that seemed, I don't even, supposedly don't have any Italian in it, but I really, really like the way Dean Martin sings. It's just that smooth velvet voice of his. And he
with a little devil may care attitude.
Yeah, well, he has a little twinkle in his lazy lounge eye, you know. So it's just the persona of the person, and I guess. He's always affected me that way.
And a drink in his hand.
Yeah, I'll have whatever he's pouring in his glass. So, yeah, it kind of get mixed around. I mean, it is what it is, you know. And if you're enjoying making music, why not? It's something I find I have fun with.
Yeah, so it's sort of it's a post-retirement hobby for you. Yeah. And you say you got into it because your son introduced you to this computer program.
Yeah, he showed me how to go to it and what he was doing, because he was making some stuff. Actually, and it's my son, Patrick. He used to do, I guess it's rap.
Okay.
That he did, because he's actually performed on stage down in Newport News and out in Ohio. He got invited to go to a winter concert out in Ohio and to raise money for another rap artist who lost both his parents in a car accident. But Patrick was very good at it. My youngest son, Timothy, he is a bass player in the band, local Colonial Beach band, Vivid Vertigo.
So obviously, at least the desire to do music runs in your family a bit.
Yes, I would say it does.
And so you decided to use this program to express yourself a little bit.
Yes.
And it sounds like you really have a lot that you want to say from listening to your songs. You obviously write complicated lyrics, I'll say, or involved lyrics.
Yeah.
And I mean, you've definitely got something to say, and you like to say it about Colonial Beach quite a bit.
One of the songs I wrote was Leaving Colony, New York, with the cold wind on my heels, and I found the shoreline that I was looking for, and it's the shoreline around here, and just let all the problems fade away watching the sunset, you know. And I appreciate your comment. The one song that I sent you, Moonlight on Monroe Bay, I'm hoping that one sings with people, because, you know, the boats, the waves,
so the moonshine. I've actually got a little story to tell you about that song.
Okay, all right.
I was at work in D.C., and I had the radio station playing. That song came on, and I had it going. I was listening to it, and my colleague was like, "Who does that? Who is that?"
It's Santa. No. Live from the North Pole.
And so I had to explain to him the whole thing of, you know, this is not an artist you'll have ever heard of because it's a local guy in Colonial Beach. But, you know, he obviously liked it enough just on first listening to comment on it and inquire about it to see, you know, where he could get it or who it was that he could look into it. So compliments to you. You definitely, I think, you hit some chords, and
right,
so
merci
to speak.
Beaucoup, monsieur.
There are some people out there who look at AI-generated music as less than real.
Right. They think it's fake.
Yeah.
But then again, so's auto-tune.
Oh, I hate auto-tune. Well, see, and the funny thing is, I hate auto-tune. I'm with you on that one. That's fake. That if you can't sing, just admit it, and you don't belong in the business. There are some diehards who say, you know, well, you don't understand the musical process, and you're not going through the pain and anguish that an artist has to go through to do these things. Or I don't know what arguments they use, quite frankly. Maybe you could tell me what people say.
Well, that's a lot of it. You know, one of the sayings I always heard was, you can't sing the blues unless you've paid your dues, and you know that don't come easy. And that was Ringo Starr saying that.
Yes.
So, you know, I do listen to different genres and stuff like that. I can understand part of it, mm-hmm. but if I can sit at my desk with my computer, my mics, come up with an idea for a song, if it elevates somebody or makes somebody feel good, why shouldn't I do it?
Yeah, what's the harm?
I mean, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm saving money. I asked Suno, this is the genre I want. I'd like to hear this in it. I want some bass drums. I want some heavy beat from the bass guitars. Give it this type of voice or give it that type of voice. Let's make it dark country, or let's make it Christmas music, or let's make it Italian.
Right. And you give it the lyrics. You write.
I give it the
lyrics.
So
that's all you. That's all original.
I give it the lyrics. I do have a joke on one of the things because you hear Dean Martin's voice come on and say, "Welcome to the co-pilot lounge," because that's how I smooth out my lyrics and stuff. I use co-pilot.
Okay.
And co-pilot is
an AI.
Hi, Frank, how you doing? Are we going to do another song today?
Oh, you know? Right.
It's like the thing knows me, you know?
Yeah.
But the co-pilot lounge, you know, where the drinks are cheap and the haters are cheaper.
So you actually wrote a little song about this topic of,
yes,
of people sort of dissuading you from doing this because AI is fake or
it's
whatever.
Fake, yeah.
And so we're gonna put that song into the show and let people listen to it.
Okay.
Just so you can express yourself musically.
All right. Thank you very much.
So what did you call? What did you name this song?
Little Old Songmaker Me.
That's it. Okay, so Frank Alger, producer of Little Old Songmaker Me.
Well, I was sitting with my laptop, feeling cozy, feeling fine, when I typed a little ditty and Suno poured me out a rhyme. Then the critics started barking like I'd kicked their Christmas tree, saying real songs take suffering. Well, not for little old song maker me. I just wink and pour another, let 'em grumble, let 'em groan. They act like making music needs a chisel set in stone. But I'm humming, smiling, swinging, living life so merrily. Yeah, I'm a little old wine drinker, making tunes with glee, 'cause I'm a little old song maker me. Sipping red and making melodies so free. If they don't like my Suno tunes, well, bless their misery. I'll keep crooning while they stew, 'cause that's just little old me. I'm a little old joy chaser guy with a lounge light twinkle in my lazy eye. If they wanna fuss and frown, well, let 'em, I'll get by with a glass raised high and a Suno lullaby. Now they say I'm cheating music, oh, that line is such a treat. Coming from folks who haven't tapped their toes in half a beat. They puff their chests like roosters, but they're jealous as can be, 'cause I'm making magic nightly, little old effortless me. They say back in my day, and I say, buddy, that's okay. But I like making songs without the pain of yesterday. So I'll toast to all the haters, may their wine be cheap and weak, while I'm drinking something better, singing sweet and free. Yeah, I'm a little old song maker me. Let the purest out, I'll keep my melody. If joy's a crime, then officer, come take my key, 'cause I'm guilty as can be, just being little old me. Now listen, pal, if a man wants to make a tune with a smile on his face and a glass in his hand, who are you to tell him no? Go on, go write your angry poem. I'll be over here having a lovely time. I'm a little old wine drinker me, and Suno's just the band that plays along with glee. So let them fuss and let them frown, I'll keep my harmony, 'cause life's too short to worry when you're little old me.
So that's just a sample of Frank's music, and of course you'll hear quite a few samples of his music, because he's been a bit prolific and been sending me a lot of his songs, and we've been playing them on WWER because, well, they're about Colonial Beach, and as you said, there aren't a lot of songs about Colonial Beach, about plenty of other beaches, but it's nice to have some really local content, and that's kind of what we are about at the radio station here, is local stuff, you know, the local weather, the local tides, local information about what the town council is doing or whatever, and what interesting people like Frank are doing, and music about this town.
And we just got to get more people to listen like a local.
You've done your homework studying up our little catchphrases. Frank, sitting before me, of course, you're almost the spitting image of what one would call Santa Claus. I'm guessing you do that as a retirement job as well.
I've been doing that ever since the previous Boy Scout troop in town here. Kitty Norris, who used to be the head librarian at the library here, she asked me to come in for their head, the combination Cub Scout, Boy Scout, Girl Scout Christmas party. But they couldn't get a Santa Claus. And by then I was starting to grow a beard. And of course it was coming out white. So I said I'd do it. And I've been doing it off and on ever since. And then people have been asking, show up at Hawthorne Mercantile, which is in the front of this building. Wendy Short asked me to come in along with the owners and stuff. I do a gig there. I help Karen Self Sullivan out. Dr. Sullivan has the benefit that she runs every year at Christmas time, Pictures with Santa, for the people to bring their pets in.
Oh, right.
And it's so these pets are adorable as all get out. I mean, you'd have something the size of a Great Dane that wants to crawl up in your lap because it thinks it's a lap dog. But, you know, every animal that come in, it's well-behaved. Their owners, they're non-fur owners. They have little fur babies. It's fun. And last year I told her, don't worry about paying me. Just put it towards the Humane Society.
Oh, nice.
And I usually show up with my granddaughter. She dresses as an elf. She's been helping me since she was six. Elf Lily. And it's nice to have somebody with you that does that, because in this day and age, a lot of children are a little nervous, even if it's Santa Claus and he looks like the guy that they see all the time as Santa Claus. They're a little twitchy. Lillian gets down on the floor to their level and plays with them and then adjusts it. So that I'm in the picture, the kids are in the picture, the elf is in the picture, and the parents can get the picture.
Mm.
So, you know, it calms the children. You know, not all children are, oh, let's go see Santa Claus. They're
right.
Like, who is that?
Right.
You know, so.
Strange man with a big beard.
We teach our children stranger danger, and somebody dressed all in red and white with a long beard, definitely a stranger.
And a little overwhelming, perhaps.
Yes, for some of the children it is. And, you know, the children that are 2, 3, 4 years old, it's might be the first time they've actually seen Santa Claus or the Vernachtenmann, Father Christmas, as I like to call myself. It's something they should long to remember. They'll have pictures. You see the look in their eye, the sparkle, when it finally clicks. And there's nothing more joyful for an adult than to see a child like that.
Mm.
The wonder in their face that they can't believe it. I even had one, the one time the boy, I could hear the boy, like the second one back, and he was saying, I don't think this is the real Santa Claus. But he was talking to his Oma and Opa. The grandmother and grandfather from Germany was visiting here in the States. He was telling Oma in German that I don't think that's the real Vernachtenmann.
Mm.
So when he come up, I looked at him, I said, was für ist? So nicht verstehen? Ich ist der Vernachtenmann. Freile Weihnachten und Freile Neun, ja.
Oh my.
And his face, his jaw dropped. The grandmother leaned in and said, I told you so. So it's fun.
Wow. The more you, as you went into that story, all I could think about was Miracle on 34th Street.
Well, yeah, that's one of my favorite movies, the original one with Edmund Green.
Yeah. Oh, that's the only one.
And Natalie Wood looked like she was about seven.
Yep.
And me and Lillian have also done what they did in that one scene where the little girl comes up that can't hear.
Mm.
And I know they can't see it on the radio, but...
Right. You signed, yeah. Well, but there was also the orphan Dutch girl or whatever, and he started speaking to her.
Yeah.
And so your story is such a parallel to that.
Well, stories like that, if you watch them, they are very inspiring. I remember watching that when I was a kid. I've watched it many times since I've been an adult.
You mentioned, you talked to this kid in German. You actually greeted me in German when we said hello.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
it's obviously, a slip of the tongue.
You're obviously not Italian, as you said, like
right.
Dean Martin, but I'm guessing some German heritage there?
Yeah. I had one, I think it was great-grandmother whose last name was Neunemacher.
Okay.
So that's about as German as you can get. My mother is mostly Irish, Scots, Welsh, and Viking with a smidgen of German in there.
I mean, did you have any German speakers in your household that you speak German, or did that come later? You learned it?
No, I learned that basically when I was stationed overseas in Germany in Ramstein.
Ah.
And it's where I started picking up on the Weihnachtsmann, Father Christmas.
Hmm.
And there's a different name for Santa Claus. I don't think they started calling him Santa Claus until he got here to the United States. In England, it's Father Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when I dress up, I wear the long robes, not the little short suit.
Okay.
That's underneath the long robes with the hood.
Oh, right.
So,
that's old, very old school.
Well, yeah. I actually got my suit from London.
Okay.
And it was like a third less than it would have cost here in the States, including the shipping. And she made it to my size and made it so it fits. So, it works out sometimes when you stumble onto things.
Well, okay. So, songwriter, Santa Claus guy, Walmart greeter, anything else? We're just to wrap it up. Is there anything else you wanted to mention about yourself before we finish up this porch talk?
Only that I have a wife that's been putting up with this for years and years and years. We've been married for over 45 years.
Oh, congratulations.
She's been there all the time. Things come and things go. I don't know if I mentioned it to you before or not, but I'm a 90% disabled vet. That's something she has to put up with. I'm a cranky old man, old fart. but, she's always there. And I'm hopefully always there for her. We have six sons, ranging from age 34, the youngest, to 57 for the oldest. It's a family. That's all I can say. We have fights. We don't have fights. We have this. We have that. It's a typical American family.
and you're still obviously very active, which is wonderful.
Well, yeah, it doesn't hurt.
Active in the community, active with your family. That's what.
Not as active as I was before.
Oh, of course not.
Because both Carol and I were doing scouting here in Colonial Beach, and I think we both have over 25 years in doing it, from Cub Scouts through Weeblos into Boy Scouts. Towards the end, I started a venture crew that was sponsored by the VFW Post. In the venture crew, what makes them different is it's co-ed. I had like six girls and six boys.
Okay.
And had to go back to more training for that. My daughter-in-law, Karen, was the lead lead scouter for the venture crew. And her husband, my son, Trevor, was the assistant. And it was funny because some of the boys go, "Oh, we got a female leader." Well, she says, "Let me introduce the assistant leader." And he walked in uniform. He's a Virginia State Trooper. Mm. So the boys calmed down quite a bit right off the bat. So, yeah. And I had, the six boys are all doing something different. Each one of them is a blessing. They say, "If I had something to do over again, I'd go to..." No, I wouldn't do anything differently. I'm happy with the life I've lived so far. I don't know how much longer I got. Nobody does. I mean, a piece of Skylab could fall out of the air.
Now that already happened.
That already happened. But
it missed.
When you're a grandparent, you get to teach your grandchildren things your parents would never think of teaching them.
And they probably regret you teaching them that. But
oh, well.
that's the joy of being a grandparent, right? You get to do that.
Grandparents' privilege. You know?
Get to be naughty.
The kids learn to, the three youngest ones, the granddaughters, they're learning to cook and bake and stuff like that.
Because
every time they come over to visit Nanny, they're right there and they're in the kitchen and they're. Of course, she doesn't worry about it because she has she's the chief cook. I'm the bottle washer, so she cooks. I clean.
You get to clean up.
So it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, nice, Frank. It's such a pleasure to meet somebody with so many interests and so much going on, and such a cheerleader for Colonial Beach.
Well, it needs to be said over and over again. You know, this is a nice little town. It deserves recognition. Most people don't even realize that we have the second largest beach in the state of Virginia. Everybody thinks, oh, Virginia Beach. No, come on to Colonial Beach, you know. You can sit down by dockside and enjoy the atmosphere on the point or off the backside of the Meuse or the backside of the riverboat.
Mm-hmm.
And we put on good fireworks every year. I enjoy them.
And I love that you inject little snippets about the different company, you know, different businesses and stuff into your songs.
I have friends throughout the town, friends and or acquaintances that I see working very hard.
Mm.
The Buzz, Great mm-hmm. Coffee, Wendy at Hawthorne Mercantile,
mm-hmm.
Tracy, she's the new owner of Peddler's Market. I've even got a Christmas song that covers Peddler's Market. They're all over the place. A lot of people do not realize how much the individual citizen of Colonial Beach does. Because they're not looking for pats on the back. They just do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it makes a big difference, you know.
This town wouldn't be what it is without all the hardworking people.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And they do it quietly.
Yes.
Behind the scenes. It's like being on a set, on a stage. All the work's going on behind the curtain
mm-hmm.
that you can't see. And that's what all
a
lot of these citizens in this town are doing. They're working behind the scenes to make the town a better place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, every once in a while you have somebody that wants to throw a monkey wrench into the works. But, you know, you can pull the monkey wrench out. And
You can never keep everybody happy.
No.
So. Don't even try.
That's one thing you can't do.
Well, Frank, thank you very much for coming to Porch Talk today on WWER.
All right. It was a pleasure. I'm glad to finally meet you in person. And I just hope some of the songs keep going. And if anybody wants, talk to Ted.
I didn't even mention. Yeah, so I've certainly had feedback of people being interested in your songs and saying they would like a copy or whatever, or where can I buy it? And it's right now it's an exclusive that you can only hear on the radio station, but we are going to start making the recordings available to the people who support the radio station. So if you support the radio station financially, we will make the songs available to you as a thank you.
There you go. He made you the offer. All you got to do is accept it.
All right, Frank.
He made you one offer you can't refuse. Give me a break here. You know what I mean? Hey. Sorry.
It's okay. It's all right.
We can always edit it out.
All right. No, no. We can leave that right in there. Frank, thank you very much.
Okay.
If you enjoy the programming on WWER, please consider making a donation. You can find out more at wwer.org/membership.